Hi, Anchor. So, hi, everyone. Welcome to the Otaku. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Rant 101. This is Otaku Lucifer, and today we're going to be talking about people fleeing Texas. It's really strange to me that you have all these people fleeing Texas because of the law that they passed. I'm going to have to do more research on it, but basically I was watching TikTok where I saw one of my friends on TikTok fleeing Texas with her family because they passed some law about people being labeled as transgender. Now, the thing I don't understand, we all know, if you don't live in Texas, right? We all know that Texas is Planet Texas, right? The things that happen in Texas is kind of like, you know, it's like Texas is its own universe in a way. Kind of like how Fox News is its own universe that generates its own news that's separate from the truth, right? A lot of things that happen in Texas, especially in its local government, is a throwback to the days of old, right? And it's literally them trying to stagnate any type of progress into the future. It's like Texas is trying to say, you know what? I see that time is moving forward. Things are changing and people are changing and ideas, new ideas are coming out. And people who have always been here, who've been suppressed and repressed and held down, are now starting to find the strength and the power to speak up for themselves. And what Texas government is doing is saying, we don't like that. That makes us feel uncomfortable. And because that makes us feel uncomfortable, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that we don't feel uncomfortable. And by doing that, because we're in power and we have the power to do that, what we're going to do is we're going to suppress your rights and we're going to suppress the way you feel because it makes us feel uncomfortable. Now, mind you, in the political landscape, just in general across the United States, people, the majority of people who run government in the U.S. are white males, and they're older white males, right? But if I'm correct, there's a young man in Texas who's a real asshole, you know, to say the least. I don't know his name right now, but I remember seeing some bill that he drew up where someone in Texas was kind of saying, you do understand that this is basically a throwback to like 1940s or 50s, like politics when it comes to black people and their rights. Right. And this man had the audacity to think that he was the smartest person in the room. And the crazy thing is with a lot of white males is that they feel like they're the smartest people in the room just because they're white or because they're privileged or because they have money. And these people don't understand that money does not make you powerful, right? Mother Teresa was powerful and she had no money. Martin Luther King was powerful. He had no money. Malcolm X was powerful. He had no money. Some of the strongest people, most powerful people, literally have no money, but they have power to incite and ignite change. And I think with these people who are in these positions, especially white individuals who see things in a certain way, right? And I don't mean that for all white people, because I don't believe all white people are bad. I think I have more in common with a poor white person than I do with a rich white person. You see what I'm saying? A lot of it is economic, but this fear, right? This baseless fear of progress is something that is troublesome because, you know, I'm a futurist, right? I'm a big fan of Nikola Tesla, and I grew up reading Jules Verne and Robert Heinlein and, you know, Ray Bradbury and a lot of sci-fi and progressive books. Ayn Rand, I love her work, you know, so I read a lot of stuff growing up that really influenced me and made me understand that things must progress, right? Stagnation, whether you want it or not, is not something that you can, that's, you know, sustainable. You know, progression is the only thing that's sustainable, right? Because the only thing that changes is change. And the harder you work to hold people back, to keep them in a state of stagnation, the more you're working against yourself. And these people don't understand that. These are the same individuals that say, I don't think my kid should go to school with somebody who's transgender because I think it's going to make my child uncomfortable. No, your child can handle it. It makes you uncomfortable because you don't want your child to end up like somebody else's kid, you know, or it's, I don't want that person teaching at the school. I don't want my kids reading about this stuff. I don't want my kids doing this, and I don't want my kids doing that. Then you as a parent have the right in your home to control what your children should intake. The reason why I'm saying this is because not so much as a defense for transgender or the LGBTQ community, which it is a defense of that, but also what the longer scope and the longer vision of this means, right? Because we already have people who are so concerned and who are so worried that this can lead into other things like suppression, like racial suppression, right? We already have things going on in the South, like in the Carolinas, where they're trying to suppress votes from quote unquote black people in this country. Voter suppression is a big thing. Stacey Abrams did her thing 2 years ago, or, you know, with this election, this past election in 2020 with Biden, with helping Biden win. And she did her thing. And this only then that's only because the jerk that she was running against 2 years before that, who cheated, did what he did, you know, and literally created his worst enemy. I don't think Stacey Abrams probably would have still been as effective as she was in the 2020 presidential election, whether she had won the gubernatorial election in 2018 or not. But the point I'm trying to make here is that voter suppression is a very big deal. And what's happening right now in Texas with people fleeing Texas because of them attacking the LGBTQ community is also something that we have to be aware of as black folk in this country. You know why? Because it's always us next, right? If it's not us first, then it's always us next. So that's what's going on right now, right? Because it's really simple for them to go and turn around and say, hey, we don't want black people to do this, or we don't want black people to do that. And they're already doing it. It's happening across the country already. You know, it's we're already living in a state of denial when it comes to history. You know, when it comes to teaching accurate history in this country, Texas government is one of the biggest ops against that. Right. They're one of the biggest opponents against teaching true history. The people in Texas, a lot of parents, a lot of white parents, don't want accurate history being taught in Texas. And it's not just Texas, you know, it's a lot of the South, but you also have other places that it's happening too. Excuse me for a moment. You literally have people in different states thinking that it's okay to rewrite accurate history. Texas is, if I recall, a couple of years ago, there was something in the news about them wanting to not say that black people in this country were slaves. They wanted to say that the Africans, and please understand when I say black people, because I really hate that term, so I'm going to do my best to go with the term of one of my idols, Avery Brooks, the best starship captain next to Picard in the Star Trek series. Avery Brooks says, or calls us brown people, right? And so I'm going to try my best, as long as I'm recording this, to say brown people. But brown, when I say black people, and I really mean brown people, please know that that term black refers to not just African slaves, but Native indigenous slaves. The first slaves coming from the Caribbean into the mainland, and then having Native indigenous from the mainland being shipped to Europe, and then also shipped to the Caribbean. And it was this big triangle, but that's another topic for another day. The point I was trying to make is that Texas has, or at the time, Texas, I think it was a publishing company in Texas. I don't think it was McGraw-Hill, but what they were doing was they were basically trying to say in school books that African slaves came here voluntarily to the United States, and that they weren't slaves, that they were hired workers. So the rewrite of history has already begun, right? It's, you know, white people in this country have been doing it for centuries, right? And again, it's not all white people. And even though all white people benefit from the bullshit, not all white people are bad. But the problem is all white people benefit. What's even worse is, as a historian myself, right? It is appalling to see people rewrite history in real time. People who barely have any history of their own is rewriting the history of people who have thousands of years worth of history and saying, no, your history starts at slavery, not the kingdoms that you guys created before that. And when I say kingdoms and empires, I am not just talking about African kingdoms. There are kingdoms and there were empires in the Americas that, if it wasn't for the fact that those places became tourist attractions, like in Mexico, right, they would be completely written out of history. You have the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Inca, right? Just to name a few, right, who were also taken over. And then in North America, the history in North America, it's so crazy that even Native indigenous historians who are Native indigenous have a hard time piecing together the history of the tribes in this country. And you want to add insult to injury by rewriting what little accurate history we already have. That is a very, very big problem. Because how are we able to progress and become better as a people if we refuse to tell the truth and face the truth of the past? White people have to understand something in this country, right? You may not actually be the problem. I'm going to say that again. White people in this country have to come to a realization that you may not actually be a problem or the problem that you think you are. Let me say that one more time. You might not be the problem that you think you are, but you are a problem that you don't understand that you are, if that makes sense. The problem with white people in this country is the fact that so many of them are blind to what's going on. And whether it's from comfort or from just sheer willfulness, or, you know, or because, you know, like my wife, she doesn't want to see the bad in people, right? My wife is a very good person who does not like to see the bad in people. You have some people like that, right, who just from inaction, they allow the evil in this world to fester. And right now, that type of thinking, it's been hundreds of years of festering, right? Hundreds of years of lies and evil intent, right? Festering under the surface of this nation, right? Like a wound that never fully healed. And now that festering wound, it's infected and it's about to burst. And instead of people saying, hey, let's figure out a way to heal this festering wound before it before we have to amputate the leg, people are kind of like, there's no festering wound. What are you talking about? I don't see a festering wound. Do you see a festering wound? I don't see anything. That's how a lot of white people operate in this country. Because if it does not affect you, then how could it possibly exist? How could it possibly exist if it does not affect me? That's what a lot of white people think. It doesn't affect me, so it doesn't exist. But the crazy thing is that so many white people know that it is a lie. It's like Jane Edwards, I think her name is, right? She had that test where she ran the brown and blue eyes test with white kids to see if they liked being segregated, if they liked being separated, if they liked being abused and made fun of just for having different colored eyes. That test she ran, the kids in that test did not like what they were feeling. And I know a lot of white people, if not all white people in this country, really know what the fuck is going on. You know why? Because not one of y'all motherfuckers is willing to become a black person for a day, let alone a year, let alone a lifetime. I want to see the white person who's willing to raise their hand and say, I'm willing to be black for the rest of my life. And deal with all the bullshit that black people have to deal with. Because, you know, when Trump was in president, when Trump was president, it was like all the bullshit came out from under the surface. All the white people who were willing to hide what was going on and hide who they really were, you know, all the racism and bias and all that nonsense, right? It came out of the woodwork, boy. And now that he's not here, it's toned down a whole lot. It's funny because it kind of reminds me of this episode of this show called Grimm, where the main character, Nick, had to hunt down a specific type of fae that had the ability to influence people negatively on a large scale. That's what Trump was for me. He was basically an amplifier for what's already going on in this country. You know, a lot of people like to blame Trump for his presence, you know, in the presidency and, you know, how he cheated and all this shit, whatever. At the end of the day, though, you really can't blame a person for being who they are, because he was that before he became president. You know, him being president just amplified his ego even more. And that amplification just spilled out into the country and, you know, just showed the world what this country really is. And none of it was good. So for all you people who say that there's no such thing as racism, there's no such thing as homophobia, you know, none of that shit exists. Okay. Then if it doesn't exist, then you wouldn't mind your child being, you know, gay or lesbian or part of the LGBTQ community. If it doesn't really exist, then why are these laws being passed? If it doesn't really exist, then why aren't none of you willing to become black for the rest of your life? See, it's all good when it does not happen to you. It's all good when it doesn't happen to my kids. But all that shit changes when it has to be you. It's all fun and games until the Wi-Fi goes out, right? It's all fun and games until what's happening out there happens at home. That's what I mean by when the Wi-Fi goes out. You know, if it's somebody else's, if it's in somebody else's house and the Wi-Fi goes out, it's not your problem. But when the Wi-Fi goes out in your home, it's all fucking hell to pay because nothing can get done anymore. Now you can't watch television. You can't play video games. You can't feel comfortable anymore. Right? Because Wi-Fi has become part of our creature comforts in this country. Right? It's become part of our creature comforts at home. If Wi-Fi isn't on, a lot of people, they lose their fucking minds and they turn to their phones. And it's the same thing with racism in this country. And the same thing with bias and prejudice against people in the LGBTQ community, right? The alphabets, like Dave Chappelle said, right? It's comfortable to be racist. It's comfortable to be biased. It's comfortable, you know? And some of these states, you know, they don't understand that eventually it's going to come to you. Whether you guys pass these laws now, your child or your child's child might end up being part of that community. Your child or your child's child will end up marrying somebody who's not white. Now what do? The craziest experience I ever had was that I dated a girl whose grandfather was a Klansman. And his granddaughter, right, had a child with a black man, quote unquote, a brown man. And all of a sudden, all that hatred just poured out his heart when he saw his little granddaughter or great granddaughter. That shit just poured right the fuck out of him. Or rather, her grandfather was the head of the KKK and her father was part of the KKK. So it was actually her father who was racist. And when he saw his granddaughter, all that shit just disappeared. So whether you guys like it or not, change is coming for you. So whether it's going to be you guys being accepting in your hearts that it's coming and that these people really they're not trying to hurt you. They're not trying to hurt your babies. You know, these are people who just want to live their lives. These are people who just want to have families and they want to be loved and they want to get jobs and they want to travel and they have goals and they have things that they want to do. That has nothing to do with you. So why is it you care so much about somebody else's business? Their business has nothing to do with you. So this is like a throwback, right? To the 1940s, 50s, Jim Crow era type things when white people didn't want black people around them because they were afraid. They were afraid that black people were going to be what? What were we going to be? The architects of this country, the builders of this country? What were we going to be? Because, you know, for centuries, you guys have been calling us savages, yet stealing our inventions. For centuries, you guys have been calling us lower while stealing our ideas. For centuries, you guys have called us poor and destitute, in need, while stealing our resources. So let me propose this idea to you guys. Maybe it's not black people or LGBTQ, the alphabet community, right? Maybe it's not that you're scared of. Maybe what you're scared of is the fact that things are changing in a way where you're no longer on top, where you literally have to be intermingled and you're going to have to share the world with other people. How scary is that? It's crazy because, like, at the beginning of this thing, I said I was a futurist, right? And I told you some of the people that I grew up reading. One of them, probably one of the most influential of them, was Robert Heinlein. But the person I'm thinking about right now is Gene Roddenberry. And if any of you out there are fans of Gene Roddenberry, you know Star Trek. And you know how the concept of race for the Earth does not exist on that show. Right? Star Trek is a future where, for the most part, everybody on Earth is at peace with each other. Now, we got beef with other people on other planets, but that's some different race shit. You understand? That's a whole other species type shit. So, and even then, they're working to make, you know, they're working towards positive, not, if not integration, then positive alliances, right? They're working towards positive ways for these beings to exist, to coexist with each other, right? Positive relations. In business and finance and even in war, right? And the other person who was an influence really big on me was Stan Lee, Stan the Man Lee, and what he did with the X-Men, which was kind of like the same thing, right? It was highly integrated. You know, you have Storm and you have Jubilee and you have Wolverine, and you have all these people that are being ostracized by society. You know, it was his take on black people in the 60s. The point I'm trying to make is that I grew up with that vision of the future, with that vision of the world in my head. You know, I'm just a kid from the Caribbean, you know, kind of like Alexander Hamilton, founding father, you know. Just a kid from the Caribbean who when I was down there, all the TV shows I saw made me want to come to the mainland to see what this place called the United States was about. And all the shows that I saw were highly integrated, highly cooperative. You know, I'm talking about the Sesame Streets, the Mr. Rogers Neighborhoods, and some of these shows, the Pinwheels, and some of these shows, I can't even remember the names of the shows, but it was always like a cast of people that were diverse. You know, the cast was always diverse. So my mindset was, wow, America must be this amazing place where, you know, someone can go and find all this diversity, you know, where people are getting along and no one hates each other. One of the most heartbreaking things that made me want to run back home to the Caribbean was coming up here and being called a nigger for the first time. And I didn't even know what the hell it was. And the craziest thing was, is that I was being called a nigger by someone who was Puerto Rican, who obviously never grew up in the Caribbean, because had she done that, she would have known that you don't call one of your students in first grade a nigger, especially if you're Puerto Rican and you have you're part nigger. But you know, it is what it is. You know, it was heartbreaking when I finally realized what it was. But shout out to Miss Gordon and rest her soul for being the other Latina who came to my defense and had to instruct her that you don't talk to children that way. And that just because a kid is sick, you don't make them feel even worse by kicking them out the class and calling them a nigger. And even though that was the first time that ever happened to me, by golly, it was not the last. America has some work to do. This country has some work to do. Because if you guys are not willing to put in the work, then all you're doing is living a lie. And I get it. You know, there's a lot of people in this country who are happy to live that lie. They're happy to believe that America is the best country in the world when it is not. You know, a lot of people are happy to think that America is the richest country in the world when it is not. We're literally in debt to China by trillions of dollars, right? And it's not the greatest country in the world because our education system sucks. You know, our mortality rate sucks. There's so many things in this country that sucks. You know, we don't have free healthcare. And every time someone pushes for universal healthcare, what happens? You have these people who go, these lobbyists who go and say, hey, my company, you know, they don't want universal healthcare. So it's better that American people don't have free universal healthcare. And then they come out with these tactics and then they divide people. And, you know, it's always the same shit, divide and conquer. And then you have people saying we're on the left and I represent that. And people saying we're on the right and I represent that. And then it's conservatives against liberals and then moderates are in the middle somewhere. And then it's all this nonsense, right? It really is nonsense because at the end of the day, that's how children act. Children behave like that. It's mine. That's mine. I'm on his side. I'm on her side. We're the better side. We're the better side. You sound like fucking children in a sandbox. And none of you understand who's pulling the strings. I think we're better than that. I think as a whole, as people on this planet, we're better than that. I think black people, we're definitely better than that. And we have a proven record. You know, I tell people all the time, especially racists, right, who like to say black people never contributed anything to this world. You know, you guys are this and you guys are that. And I'm saying, all right, if you really believe that, look up every invention created by a black person just in the United States. Then take that invention away. If they did that, if every invention created by a black person in this country was taken away, we'd be in the Stone Ages. Trust. So, you know, I think what's going on in Texas is somewhat of a barometer, right? Because there's a paradigm shift. AOC said it a couple years ago. She was just like, it's in the air. It's a paradigm shift and people don't get it. They don't understand it, you know? And I think I really believe that's what's happening. I believe that there's a paradigm shift and people aren't noticing it. It's kind of like how back in the day, how Fred Hampton said, you can't, and I'm paraphrasing, he said something to the effect about how you can't change an idea whose time has come. Right? You can't change the revolution. You can't stop the revolution. You can't. And the revolution might take a couple of years, a couple of decades. It might take a century or two, three or four. But once that ball is in motion, you can't stop it. All you can do is, you know, slow it down. And then, you know, at some point you can't even do that. So I really want to know what these people in Texas are fighting for. You know, are you fighting for the future of your children? Because if you really love your children, you'd want to tell them the truth, right? Because why would you want to lie to your babies unless you're the one who's scared or you're the one who feels guilty? And the other crazy thing is that, you know, a lot of white people, and I say this to my wife all the time, I'm like, you know, a lot of white people, they get it in their head that just because their ancestors did some crazy shit, that the world is going to look at them like being like slave owners and wanting people below them, quote unquote, right? The people that they deem below them to stay in their place. And I know for a fact there's white people like that, right? But then there's also white people who were abolitionists who helped or, you know, who did their best to make things equal in this country. So why wouldn't you want your children to be like that? Why wouldn't you want your children to be on that side of the coin instead of the other side? Right? I think so many people, especially white people in this country, look at education and history and equality as something negative. because that's what they were taught. Someone they loved went and said to them, hey, this is the way it is. Those people belong over there. They're not like us. We belong over here. We're better because we're Christian. And that's a whole other episode that we're going to get into, because I grew up in that bullshit. Yeah, it's bullshit, but whatever. Let's go on, right? But they'll say, we're Christian. We're the good guys. We're white. We're the good guys. They're not like us. They want to be like us, but they're not like us. They're savages. Look how they treat their own people. Look how they shoot their own people and kill their own people. But then they don't tell the whole story, right? Because how could they? How could they tell the whole story and say, well, we were really the savages, right? We came here and we pillaged and we raped and we killed. That's what our ancestors did. That's the truth of it. Our ancestors did that. And instead of you saying, that's what our ancestors did, and that has nothing to do with us, you guys stay in what I, you know, in this type of mindset that this is who we are, and then, you know, this is who our ancestors were, and this is who they're going to identify us as, whether that's really true or not. Instead of having what I call Sealy Booth syndrome, right? If you guys ever watched that show Bones, David Boreanaz, I think his name is, right, from, you know, Angel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he in the show, he was the ancestor, he was the descendant of John Wilkes Booth, and, you know, the guy who killed Lincoln. And he always felt this guilt. And I think white people have that. They have this guilt, right, of my ancestors. You know, my ancestors did this, and the sins of the father, I don't want to see those visited upon me or my children. So they go into this thing of denial. But the difference between the average white person in this country and Sealy Booth is that, one, David Boreanaz is Latino, but whatever, is that Sealy Booth, what he did is he took onus. You know, he took responsibility for what his ancestor did and said, that's him, right? That's who he is, or who he was, and that's what he did. I can't change that. But me, I'm a good person, and I'm going to go out there every day making sure that I be a good person. I'm going to go out there every day making sure that I catch the bad guys. I'm going to go out there every day making sure that I treat people good, that I make sure that the people that I'm around are good. You know, I make sure that my community is good. You know, I make sure that regardless of whatever race or creed or what have you, that the people next to me, that they're good. You know, one of the best things about growing up in the Caribbean is that I grew up in a village and everybody looked out for everybody. You know, having that type of mentality where your neighbor looked out for you, right? Your neighbor looked out for your kids, right? That type of community, right? It fosters, it nurtures a certain type of mindset where my neighbor, regardless of what he or she looks like, regardless of whatever religion he or she follows, regardless of whether or not he or she chooses to love the same sex or not, regardless of how he or she chooses to dress, they are a person deserving of respect. They are a person deserving of love. They are a person deserving of the chance to live the life that they want to live, as long as they don't hurt anybody. And for some reason, white America can't grasp that concept as a whole. Again, this doesn't mean all white people, but it means the people, definitely the white people in power, and definitely those white people in power are not all politicians. So the question becomes, where do we go from here? How do we grow? How do we become better as a people? How do we become better as a country? you know, I don't really have the answers. Like I said, I'm just a kid from the Caribbean. You know, I grew up in the South Bronx. I saw a lot of shit. You know, I come from really unique circumstances. You know, a lot of crazy things have happened to me in my life. But never once have I ever forgotten to be a good person. Never once have I forgotten to treat people the way I want to be treated. And if the government in Texas can't understand that simple rule, then I think the white people in Texas have a lot more to worry about than just whether or not someone from a certain community is living next to you or talking to your kids, because that's the real threat to your children. The fact that they're not being told the truth, because I guarantee you, right, that same reaction some kids have towards their parents for being lied to about Santa Claus, I guarantee when they find out what really fucking happened in this country and they find out that their parents have been lying to them or went along with a lie for so long, it's going to be hell to pay. I keep telling you people, change is coming, whether you like it or not. And it has nothing to do with a threat or anything like that. Change comes in so many different ways. Change comes in talking, right? It comes in loving. It comes in learning and knowing. When you can change like that, then everything changes. And sometimes we change through our children. Just like that example I gave earlier about the KKK member who couldn't stand black people. But once he got a black granddaughter, he was like, holy shit, I'm in love with this little girl. Don't you ever say shit about my granddaughter. And nobody in the KKK could say shit about his granddaughter, because that was his grandchild. Love is a powerful thing. Understanding is a powerful thing. Learning to love and understand each other is a powerful thing. This is the thing we should focus on in this country. Understanding, learning from each other, from our experiences, good and bad. Because how can we be better and get better as a people, as a country, as a whole, if we don't try to understand each other? And, you know, when someone says to me, well, you know, that's all well and good for you, you know, you can stay there and with your understanding and all that. Yeah, I can. Because at the end of the day, what the people who are trying to hold us back don't realize is that that time is over. Our politicians are dinosaurs for the most part. And the people who aren't dinosaurs, like the Mitch McConnells and Nancy Pelosi's, they're either trying to make real change or they're trying to hinder that change. And those people who are trying to hinder the progress of this country, why are you there? It's not going to go back to the 1940s, no matter how much you try. You know, it's not going to go back to the 1950s. No matter how much you try, no matter how many all white communities you try to build, no matter how many black communities you purchase to have them fight against each other or to drive up their rent or to kick them out through gentrification or re-gentrification, no matter how much you do it, eventually you're not going to be here, and then it's going to be up to your kids. And if your kids don't have your same mindset, it's not going to happen. And even if they do have your same mindset, they might not be as good at it as you are. And then what? The change comes. I saw a crazy meme. Not even a meme. I saw a crazy TikTok between two white officers talking about how we're the minority now. If you add all of them up against us, we're the minority now. And I had to say to myself, yeah, that's always been true. But why are you seeing it as you against us or we against you. Why do you have that type of thinking? Who told you that? Who raised you to think that it was you against anybody? And that's the sad thing about this country when it comes to white people, because a lot of white people think that. They think that other races think the way that they think. So, yeah. It's sad. Because other people don't think the way you think. You know? This superiority complex that white America has, it's a facade. Because every race on this planet has contributed to the planet's growth, whether it be positive or negative. That's just the truth of the matter. Every race has contributed to it. Have some races contributed more? Yeah. Have some races done it wrong? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that the contribution didn't push the world forward. We could be better. We should be better. We need to be better. But how can we do that if you guys are out there thinking that it's us against them, when it's really not? No one's creating that narrative but you, in your head. No one's against you unless you make it so. And then eventually, when things do change, and it's not all white people in power and politics anymore and in finance anymore and in all the things that matter right now, and other people come into power, people of color, more and more people of color come into power, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to do to you what you did to us? I mean, it's a fear to have. It's an understandable fear to have, you know. I've treated these people like shit. My ancestors treated these people like shit. I should be afraid. We call these people savages when they're really not. We stole from these people. We took from these people. We benefited from their pain. Why wouldn't we expect them to do the same thing to us? And again, it goes back to, not everybody thinks like you do. So instead of thinking that we think like you, how about judging our actions instead of what you think in your head we are? Because for some strange reason, white people can't get that either. They can't get the fact that people who don't look like them are not like them. I think the biggest fear white people have is themselves. They're seeing shadows of who they are and who their ancestors were. They're seeing it, and they're projecting that fear, right, onto other races. They're saying, oh, these other races are savages. Look at them. They're slaves. They're savages. When the real savage are the slave masters and overseers, right? The savage isn't the person trying to go to school to learn, right, in an integrated system. The savage is the kids spitting and cussing and throwing things at the little girl trying to go to school to learn in an integrated system. Those are the true savages. So, you know, maybe you guys want to have a talk with grandma and grandpa about why you're so scared of certain communities like the alphabet community, or why you're so scared of brown people when you've never met a brown person in your life. Maybe you need to have a discussion with your parents and your grandparents as to why you're so afraid. Maybe you need to stop watching Fox News or CNN or NBC or whatever the fuck you watch and go outside and make new friends that don't look like you. Talk to them. because at the end of the day, we're all people. We might look different on the outside, but on the inside, we're basically the same. And if some of you don't like that, then I don't know what to tell you. Because whether you like it or not, like I said, change is coming, whether you like it or not. I wish everyone out there the best who listens to this, and I hope everyone stays peaceful, safe, and blessed. Good night.